Hello, folks. I want to welcome you back to episode 2 of the Phoebe Schechter podcast with me. She is a smart, bright, talented person, and I'm so glad to have her back for part 2. So come on in and check it out.
I've got some great clips, and everybody, click on them and look at them. You got to see Phoebe in action here. It's just, it really is a joy to have done the research on you and have watched the videos and the clips of you on the field working with the players, not only because it's great to see a pro do her thing, but frankly, because it's such a trend-setting, mind-shifting, culturally shifting thing to have a woman talking to men of this ego and this strength and this attitude, to see you work with them and to watch the respect that they give you and to watch the interaction between you and players. So describe that, because I think that's so fascinating to have watched you working with these guys and these people who are trying to get hired onto the team, or people who are definitely already there and moving on. Big names. These are the biggest names. Again, I remind you, the best that the universe has to offer, you're working with them right there in the field. What's that feel like? What's that like for you? Especially the first time when you had an interaction with a name. Let's clarify once again, you were tight end coach, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, absolutely. Okay.
By the way, bear in mind, if we back up a little bit, this is a lady who said she couldn't catch a ball. Okay, she could not catch a ball, had to learn how to catch a ball, and her position is tight end coach. So what? But I find that very interesting and sort of humorous, too. But explain what it's like to connect and work with and talk to and get feedback from these players, not only professionally, but male, female. Give me that dynamic.
Yeah, absolutely. So if I look back to my first training camp, I was with DBs. So I was with Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, Tre'Davious White. It was his rookie year. You know, I had some really big names that I was with. And you know what? Like, again, it goes back to the reflection of who they are. But they made me feel so comfortable. And I think maybe one of the probably benefits, like, in my life, I'm not a, I don't know the right word, not a fangirl of people, right? People are who people are, and some people have done some incredible things in their life, and they should be celebrated for that. But I've never really felt that kind of fandom over people, if that makes sense. So at least I didn't have that when I was meeting everyone. I respected everything that they had achieved. And I think it also, you know, we talked earlier about horses and building trust. People are just the same way. And with the players, it's, can they trust you and how can you help them? And one of the really cool things my first year was literally that conversation. How do we build the trust of these players with you? And my coach at the time was a guy by the name of Gil Bird. He played in the league. His son played in the league. And he was like, all right, well, we're on defense, and I play American football. I also play this kind of crazy sport called kabaddi, which is
yes,
all about tackling. Yeah.
I didn't even know this sport existed until I looked you up and found out about it.
It's the best. It's so good. But, yeah, so we literally made a highlight video and showed that to the players, and they saw my tenacity, my tackling, which is like my favorite part of the sport. And after that, they're like, dang, okay, like, all right, I might not know all the X's and O's, but I will give you everything. I can do I can talk to you about tackling. I can help you with the tackling. And I've been there and done it in that sense. And to this day, the guys still reach out to me and they, you know, we're still really good friends, which is awesome. And it made it funny because the following year when I was with offense, they're like, oh, you're leaving us. You're just a trader now. You're just going to the other side. I thought you liked us. You know, just like good banter with people. But I find the biggest thing was like literally building that trust. How can I be the most consistent person? And trust doesn't have to be forced, right? There are situations where you can really like almost overdo it. And for me, it was, okay, so-and-so is going to ask me what time it is. I know he's going to ask me every day what time it is. Or I know he's going to ask me what do we have next and what time. So if I can give them the exact answer and they can come back to me every day for those questions, well, they're going to keep asking me more and more things. That they would see me in the gym and see me working hard and lifting in the gym, you know, that they're putting in the work, like I should put in the work too. So just a combination of constantly building up and up. And but the players, honestly, have always been so supportive of me. I remember my first training camp, Gil Bird, he made me do a practice review for the players. So literally, like, telling Micah Hyde what he was doing wrong, or saying to Sir David White, hey, you need to do X, Y, and Z. And I was so nervous. And they knew I was so nervous. I mean, I was nervous just with my huddle remote. At the end of it, all the guys like stood up, started clapping for me, and they were excited and they were appreciative that I was obviously putting myself in a vulnerable position and being vulnerable with them and being vulnerable in front of them and willing to be uncomfortable and try something new and learn something new. And I think when people feel that and recognize that you're willing to open up to them, they're willing to reciprocate that as well.
That video that was put together to show the team, there's so much to be said from a professional's point of view or an experienced athlete's point of view when someone new, male or female, but maybe especially female in a male, such a heavily male-dominated sport, of someone who, hey, look, I've been there and done that too. All of a sudden, as you pointed out, it's like, ooh, whoa, okay, this lady, she's taken some hits, she's given some hits, she knows the game. And so that really sealed the credibility issue for you when they saw that, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, massively. And I'm sure it would have happened eventually, but actually they could literally see it, and then they kind of passed it on, and because they were like, oh no, she's cool now. Well, that ended up spreading to the rest of the team, you know, that they were like, I was at lunch and they'd be like, hey, show them that Kabuddi tackling video, or show the guys this, you know, and having the other players come over and show it to have me show them was just kind of like a cool, like, welcome to our team.
I mentioned Clint Eastwood earlier. There's a great movie. I like almost everything Clint does. He's got another one coming out. It's called Heartbreak Ridge, and there's a soldier who's got the uniform and the stripes, but he hasn't cut his teeth in any battle, any war, or anything, and Clint's an old, hardened war veteran. People have to take orders from this guy, and he's sort of a goofy guy. He's a geeky guy. He's sort of a comical guy in the movie, but he doesn't have the stripes. He hasn't been in battle, so he doesn't get the same respect, but you have the stripes. You've been in battle, so you got the respect because you know what it's like to get hit. When a guy sees that you've been hit, you know it, and you can take it, and you can serve up a hit, it changes everything, I think. Yeah. Know a guy named Bob Boras? Does that name ring a bell? Am I pronouncing it right? Boras, B-O-R-A-S?
Oh, yeah, Rob Boras, yeah.
Yeah, Rob, I said Bob, so see, she knows him as Rob. the real name. He's a tight end coach for the Bills, right?
Yeah.
He gave wonderful. You a hell of a compliment. He said one of your greatest attributes is you're curious, that you have a deep level of curiosity. What's he saying about you?
I think two things here, right? One, I think females want to know why all the time. You know, we always are asking, well, why? Why? You know, I think that's one of the traits that women have. We want the understanding. You know, I always use the example of if you talk to a receiver, a male receiver, and you say, hey, go run that fade route, they'll just do it. If you ask a woman that, like, why?
So true.
And, you know, I think part of that was literally that element, but it was something so new to me that I just wanted to learn all the time. There were so many levels above what I had ever experienced that I wanted to know the ins and outs of what we were doing, why we were doing it. And you get that hunger to know more. And also, like, I never want to be in a situation where a player asks me, you know, why we're doing something, and I don't know why. Because as a coach, if I'm teaching something and I don't understand why I'm teaching it or where it fits in, well, A, should I really be teaching it? And B, I need to do a better job for myself and for my team, because if they don't understand it, A, how are they going to remember it? And B, why would they even implement the tool?
I see. That makes a whole bunch of sense. Let me ask you, you've touched on it. I want to just take another minute on it. What does it feel like to be at the pinnacle of what I'm going to call coaching success? If it gets bigger, I don't know where. And frankly, in this country, football has long surpassed baseball as the real pastime. It's our sport at this point. What does it feel like? Give me the feeling. It's such an accomplishment. It's huge. Again, I dare say even bigger for a female in our culture here. It is a male-dominated sport. I've said it a lot. It's true. I'm going to keep emphasizing that. This is no small feat. This is not a small thing that Phoebe's done. It's a big deal. It's a big deal for a guy. Okay, but it's bigger for a woman. So what did it feel like? Did you really fully appreciate the size of the accomplishment? Did you fully understand it while it was happening? Or was it when you left the Bills that it all sort of really, what's the deal here?
Without a doubt, you feel it when you're there, right? I mean, from just having everything at your fingertips, being around these athletes, you know, it's you see them make these unbelievable catches. Like, everyone is is almost like a freak athlete, and that's the norm, you know? So you almost get like numb to the fact that these guys are doing these acrobatics essentially to make a play work. But, you know, even just the hours that people spend, the travel, you know, the first time you go on a plane with the team, you've got your own plane, you've got your own setup, you've got your own TSA agent, and you fly and you do all that together. Plus, when you get onto the field, I think it doesn't matter if you're away or you're home, that energy and that real big, like, oh my goodness, like, this is real. Like, this is the NFL. I mean, one of my other, like, real realizations of that is we played Green Bay early in the season. Heck, when you're game planning against, you know, Aaron Rodgers, like, you're like, is this reality? I just feel so lucky. You just need to pinch yourself. And, I mean, I remember our first win. If you could bottle up that feeling, bottle up that energy and that euphoria, like, you would be on cloud nine forever. I mean, there's no better feeling than that. And it's just all your hard work, like, cumulatively, like, coming together and every single person having their role, from players to staff to volunteers to whomever it may be, to make that one moment happen.
One of the chemistry differences you chatted, which I loved, I was laughing hysterically over here because it's just so true. I think women are much more complex than men. This is neither good or bad. It just is. It's just there are differences between us. And again, we should be celebrating these differences and laughing at these differences and learning how to work with these differences, right? But you said that. You tell a guy to run a route, he just goes and runs it. You tell a woman to run it, she says, why? Why do you think men are willing to just be linear? Do you have an opinion on that?
I think that they, a lot of times, just put their trust into the player, into the coaches, apologies, and we'll just go and do it. You know, they're like, this is a sport I've grown up with, and I'm going to do whatever you say. Like, I don't need to know. I like running. I like catching a football. I like defending a football, whatever that may be. It's something that's going to instantly kind of make them happy. You know, it'd be interesting to know, like, the psychology side of things as to why that is, you know, as to why a man perhaps wouldn't dive deeper into the understanding of it.
You said something, too, that just excites me. You know, you're working with the Bills. You're working with these great players, and you have to prepare for a game against Aaron Rodgers. No small name in the sport of football. Pregnant pause because I'm thinking about the size of this. Again, this is not small stuff. I mean, this is like Titans. This is like planning for Greek god Titans coming together, Zeus and Andromeda. Pick your gods. This is big stuff. Was your adrenaline racing through you and coursing through you in an unstoppable way, you know, when you're preparing for a game against Aaron Rodgers and then the game unfolds in front of you as you're on the sideline? What is that like?
It's funny because obviously, you know, a lot of the coaches I was with, they've been in the league for a few years, or it was really just me in the room that was new to the league. So for me, it's like my way of expressing it is like a giddy little child just kind of like sat there trying to take in all this information. And it's hard not to, because, you know, it just kind of makes you think like, how, I don't know how going forward I ever watch football again and not break it down in a sense of, okay, well, I know he's going to do this, or, you know, this is his signature move, and, you know, it just, things like that, like, are permanently kind of implanted into you. But to then be able to see the buildup throughout the week, so from your walkthroughs installing to practices and seeing it at full speed, and then actually seeing it on game day and see it all come together and work, I mean, sometimes that's the most rewarding part of it. You're like, okay, well, we know he's going to do that, so we're going to do X, Y, and Z. And, like, that just makes you feel so good that all that hard work you put in is worthwhile. Your scouting has done, you know, wonders. Yeah, it is just like being on a whole nother world. And then you go play at Lambeau Field. I mean, goodness, it couldn't get much better than that. It couldn't get much more this is football. This is your life. Yeah. This is, you know.
I want to emphasize, she's saying it couldn't get much better than this, but it does get better. How? Go to Foxborough or have Foxborough come to you. So
there you go.
Of course. All right. So a little bit of bias there. Well, that was a big deal for you. That had to be a big deal because the Bills have been chasing the Patriots forever, and now they're on top of the Patriots and winning. But what was it like for you to be on the field at the same time, Brady and but who was the QB at the time you were there?
Josh Allen.
Oh, it was Josh Allen. Okay.
Yeah.
It was Josh Allen. Okay. I do know the quarterback. So what was it like that day?
Yeah. So obviously they're in our division, so we play them twice. And just giving a background, you know, when I was a kid, they would always say, pick, you know, everyone always had their team, especially based from Connecticut, you end up being like a Red Sox or a Yankees fan, a Buffalo, I mean, excuse me, a Patriots or like Jets or Giants fan, you know, those are kind of your options. So I used to be a Patriots, I used to associate myself with the Patriots because really that's probably what everyone else did being in New England. So my first game against the Patriots was a home game for us. And I remember when Brady came on the field, the entire stadium just started booing at him. Literally, everyone was just booing at him. And, you know, he just kind of cantered onto the field. And yeah, exactly. This is just his life now. But the interesting thing was actually going to Foxborough and playing there. I mean, it's a wonderful stadium. It's a pretty cool, like, Patriot Place is such a cool place anyways. You know, I've been in a few different coaches' boxes by then. I've had a few different stadium experiences. And the Patriots, you know, I finally understood why everyone was so annoyed by them. Because the coach's box was probably worse than any college box I'd ever been in. And it is literally at the top of Foxborough. Like, you cannot go any higher up. And it's just the guests, you know, way coaches. To the point where I had to go in. There's 9 of us in this little skinny thing. You open the door. I had to, like, shimmy in. There was a metal handrail on the side. I had to pull myself up onto the second level where you could only stand. There's no seats. There's only standing room. And then on top of that, it had this massive, like, desk, essentially, where you could put your Surface or whatever you need. And I had to get a box to stand on top of there because it was too high. So I couldn't see over it. And it's just like a little dots on the field. You can't really see much. But what's even better is that at halftime, you literally have to run down through the concession stand. So through all the fans at halftime, which is mayhem, down an elevator, all the way back, like underneath yourself to get to the locker room. No joke. By the time you get there, you have to go back up again because they're about to kick off. So it's just, you know, every little detail feels very well thought out of how can I make this really challenging on people.
That's, I think, not accidental. They think about winning every which way they can. And, of course, there have been a lot of controversy in New England about their approach to winning. What was it against the Jets? Filming and Deflategate, all these things. Of course, I admit bias. I've been around sports my whole life. Cheating is prevalent. Unfortunately, it's a part of every sport. I always say at the end of the day, they're all doing it. Doesn't make it right, doesn't justify it, shouldn't be done. But I think it's important to point out that Patriots get caught. Other teams have been caught. It's something that needs to go away. It isn't going to go away, and it's just part and parcel of the game. And at the end of the day, you just got to go out there and play and win. You can't let things get in the way. I didn't buy into Deflategate myself, but there was a video of a guy going into a men's room with a sack full of footballs. Who knows what he was doing, you know. Phoebe, you also say it's time for the Bills to be respected. I've always respected them because I've seen them incrementally getting better every year. So I've always had a little fear of the Bills. And as I say, now they're at the top of it. And I think Josh Allen should have beat Kansas City last year. I saw that game. They should have won that game. And even when they had that crappy call pulled back that would have put them ahead, okay, I'm jumping off subject for a minute here, but I'm passionate about this. He had the biggest second opportunity, and he's going to have to learn how to deal with this stuff because they got the ball back. And they had a chance to go into the end zone again. They never should have had that one call back. I don't know the rule. If you know the rule, you can explain it. Didn't make sense to me. Guy caught the ball, flew over the end zone. I think hit the ground and fumbled it out. But I thought the play was over. I thought as soon as you cross that plane, boom, it's over. The play's done. It's done. It's over. Whatever happens after you cross the plane, doesn't matter because the ball has crossed the plane. It's a touchdown. But he lost control of the ball, flew out of his hand. Do you know the rule on that? Do you remember that one?
I don't remember the rule off the top of my head. I mean, I remember the play being called back. And,
yeah.
I mean, that was just heartbreaking, you know, because they had come out really quite strong and we're doing great. I'll have to double check on that one again, though, because I don't remember it off the top of my head.
You can't remember all these rules. There's so many rules. I don't know how you deal with that. That's a whole nother part of the game some other time we'll talk about. But then they got the ball back. This is when you have to show up. Okay, we got the touchdown call back. We got the ball back. I think it was a three and out. Certainly Kansas City did not score, and this was an opportunity for Josh to go in and seal the deal. He didn't do it. But what did that feel like for you as a spectator?
You know, it was tough, really, because you could kind of see that it looked like he had almost lost his spark a little bit in that picture. Not that it looked too big for him, because, you know, he's a great quarterback and he's able to really, really hold the team together like that. But I just felt like the whole team had never been in that position before. That was the first time that they'd gotten that far within football together. And I think that lack of experience really kind of showed up there. And it just felt flat, for lack of a better word.
I think that's perfectly said. That's what it looked like. And I'm going to be tough here. I'm not at that level. I just feel like I got to say, too bad, tough luck, show up. This is your opportunity. You can get it done. You have the ball. There's time left. These are the moments that truly do differentiate. And I grant you, this is at the highest level, and these things take time to develop. Most of the time, they take time to develop that winning attitude and crunch difficult moments against greats like Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Yet, go out there and fail doing your best. I don't care if you lose. I always want to win. But if you're doing your best and you're trying and you're really trying to get it done and you lose fair and square, that's the way the ball bounces. But give me your best. And it did feel like they sort of fell flat. I think that was three and out. I don't think they got it done. But I think they're going to get it done. So it comes back to my question. Why do the Bills deserve respect?
We live in a day and age now where people want results now. Right? You look at, like, football, soccer managers, and they aren't successful in 1 year. Well, they're out. Well, Buffalo and the owner, the Pegulas, have really invested in Coach McDermott and all the players and staff alongside that. And, you know, they've been slowly chipping away. They've been consistent throughout in terms of what their messaging is to the players. And, you know, it's finally seeing all those pieces come together. You know, I think people always just kind of think, you watch the beginning of most of the past, like, two, three seasons of Buffalo playing, and they're like, oh, nah, like, okay, they might have beat Titans, they might have beat this team, but they're not a real team yet. I think people don't really start buying in until they start beating the quote-unquote bigger teams. They just get lucky, or they, you know, there's always some kind of excuse or answer as to why Buffalo are successful other than, hey, Buffalo are a good team. It's always like, hey, you know, the Seahawks were great there, but, you know, that was Russell Wilson, that's why the Buffalo won. And the emphasis is never on Buffalo, just being a good team, if that makes sense.
You said something fascinating, and I would not have been able to relate to it except for the fact of what happened with Brady and the Buccaneers. You said they don't necessarily believe they can do it till they beat a big team. I was really surprised to learn that Brady was texting his players before the playoff last year and saying things like, we can do it, we can beat them, we can get it done. And some of the players fed back after the Super Bowl saying that was the first time they really believed they could do it because Brady was saying we can do it. Well, they just played with them a whole season, plus they're professional athletes. This is an uncommon way of thinking to me. I never had this kind of thinking. I just never let anything scare me. Nothing ever scared me. Always believed I could be the best, even if I didn't. And ultimately, I did not. It didn't prevent me from thinking that way sincerely. I mean, right into my core. So you just said something very interesting that ties into what some of the players on the Buccaneers said. What's going on there? I thought they all thought, hey, we're here. That's Mahomes. That's Breeze. That's Rodgers. We're going to show up and we're going to take them down. I guess that's not naturally embedded in a team.
No, not necessarily. And at the end of the day, people are human. You know, there's not just one way of thinking for everybody out there. So it's a really great point that you brought up because, you know, I think sometimes, like, it could be a fake until you make it thing. They don't really believe in it until they've got, like, that encouragement from their peers. Some of these players have just been freak of nature athletes their whole life, and, you know, maybe they've won because of that. But actually, you know, that doesn't mean that their mindset is that of like a growth mindset, right? Some of them just might be good at what they do and they continue to do that.
I see.
When you really get into like the nuts and bolts of it, they need that encouragement. You know, again, some of these guys are really young. Some of them are 20, 21 years old.
Okay.
You know, Josh Allen's what, 24?
Yeah.
25? Like,
well said. Massive platform. Very, very well said. But at the same time, isn't this the expectation when you choose that platform?
It is, absolutely. So how do you go then from being a college kid who was really good in college to then being expected to be the leader on an NFL team or the top playmaker on an NFL team? Some people really believe in themselves. You know, some really have a lot of self-doubt. Just because you're successful in life or successful in business doesn't mean that you don't have to go through a bunch of obstacles or hurdles to get to that place. It might be an ongoing battle that you have with yourself that, you know, self-doubt is something that can really take over, you know, even as a coach, like I experienced that at times, you know, or that imposter syndrome, you know, that same thing for the players. Oh man, like, I don't believe I should be here right now. Like, how is this happening? How am I in this situation? And how are we going to beat this guy who maybe one of the players has been looking up to since they were a kid? Now they're on the same field as one of their heroes. That's a really unique dynamic for someone.
I did experience that dynamic once as I went through my career as an athlete swimming, where someone who was my idol and older than me, who was the Mark Spitz of the world I grew up in as a young kid, who later I was competing directly against once we were in the same age group and beating him. It was weird. It's a strange thing. You're a big believer in 100% effort. Doesn't that go without saying? In other words, are people not giving 100% effort?
I mean, I guess the question is that just within elite sport or in life?
Okay, you got me. Okay, so explain it.
You can go either way, right? I mean, you expect an elite athlete to literally be giving their all the time. As an outsider looking in, I would say that's what most people expect. Like, this is your job. This is what you should do. But that does not mean that that's what people are like. They're not, again, they're not robots. And there are times where people, just like anyone that works a 9-to-5, they potentially don't like. They show up, they come to work, they go home, like, and they block it out. Well, at that level, you need more than that. You need to be giving your all the time in order to be successful, because there's 31 other teams out there that are trying to beat you, and we're all competing for the same place. You know, there's practice squad guys that are just there for a paycheck, which seems crazy. You know, you would never think that, because you're like, oh my gosh, this is where so many people are competing to try and get, you know, and everyday life. Like, there's no way that everyone can give their all the time, and I understand that and I appreciate that. But if you can dedicate yourself to something that you're passionate about, if you can show up every day and be consistent, like, that means a lot to somebody. And that's that 100% that I'm talking about. Like, that's the effort. You know, I will do my best for anybody in order to, for us to be successful, in order for them to be successful. But that's also a mindset. You know, there's a difference between being selfless and selfish. And that changes the effort levels that you're putting towards other people and perhaps towards yourself.
I'd like for you to differentiate between that individual that's showing up to win and that individual that's showing up for the check.
Yeah, the individual that shows up to win is the first one in and the last one to leave, and, you know, leave the building, is doing their prehab, doing their rehab, getting extra hours in the classroom. They are helping others make sure they're all on the same level. If they're a practice squad guy, they are doing the best they possibly can, because iron sharpens iron, and they're going to make our starting offense or defense even better because they're giving such great effort. The guy that shows up for a paycheck, shows up, doesn't really do anything extra, isn't going to go that, you know, maybe turn up the gear a couple bits and really try and catch that football, or they'll just kind of stop short of finishing a play, and then they just leave. You know, they don't really integrate too much, or they're just there to have a good time and have the razzmatazz of the NFL and saying, hey, I play the NFL. And you get both people. You know, again, like a football team, an NFL team is just a snapshot of the world, right? It's just a snapshot of a community. and you get people from all different walks of life, and not everybody's the same, and that's what makes it so beautiful at the same time, is that everyone is different and they all bring different things to the table.
Can you change the mindset of that person? Can you change that mindset of the, hey, I'm just here for the check, that's what I'm here for?
I think you can do. I think there's two ways of handling it. One, having the right people around. Like if you're, it is really hard. If you're that kind of person and you're showing up every day and you really care about what you're doing, or you see everyone else around you really giving that effort and being motivated, and you know, you can over a period of time definitely change your mindset. You know, you can find that motivation again. You want to be a part of something great. People want to be a part of something great. But there are some people, you know, whether you're trying to kick a smoking habit or something like that, right? Like some people just don't want to change. Some people don't want to give up smoking. You can only help someone so much.
It really comes down to self-motivation and how big and good you want to be. You said you'd love to be an NFL assistant coach. So this fascinates me. And you're going to work your way back. You're not with the Bills right now. Why? When I read that you were an intern there, you're working with tight ends and you were at this highest level and you were offered an extension and turned it down, I couldn't wait to get to this part of the interview. Why did you turn down the offer to stay? And having done that, how do you get back to an NFL assistant position?
Two really good questions. To answer the first one, it's a funny thing, right? The NFL is this massive worldwide stage, and everyone from the outside is like, why would you ever leave that? And it's something that no one will ever understand what it's like inside, and it's amazing, and I loved every minute of it. And I got to a point where, you know, I spoke with Coach McDermott, and we had the most amazing conversation, and he was so supportive. And I think the thing, ultimate thing for me was, at the time we were starting the NFL Academy in London, and I felt like I had this inner calling to help, not necessarily younger generation, but help groups of people to really make a vast impact in their lives and help them achieve that next step in their life. So the Academy is for high school age kids and trying to get them college scholarships over the States. And I just had this inner calling where I was like, okay, I've had this amazing experience in the NFL. I don't think it's going to be the last time I'm in the NFL, but I also feel like I can impact these people's lives so much more at the younger level and really change their lives, change the trajectory of their lives, because the sport did that for me. You know, there are people that have helped me along this entire way to get to where I am. And, you know, Coach McDermott was so understanding of it, and felt like, yeah, if that's where my heart was, if I needed to go and do that and see the world and help people in that way, that, yeah, I should. And, you know, that's not to say that making that decision was easy at all. You know, it was something I thought about for weeks and weeks, and then pretty much every day since.
Yeah.
You know, it's massive. And would I change it? In hindsight, probably, you know, but actually I don't regret it, because I am where I am now because of every single decision I've made. Now, if it comes to getting back involved in the NFL, I've been really fortunate at this point to have met so many wonderful people, right? I've known so many incredible coaches who are coaching the NFL. Even where I am in Germany right now, I'm coaching with an ex-NFL coach of 11 years. So that networking element plays such a big role, but also I've done a really good job, and I know that I can do that for a team, and I know that I add something unique to a team. So in the future, yeah, I think I will be back with one, and I'll work my butt off to get there, because like you said, it's not easy, right? It's definitely something that is so high up there to try and achieve, and to try and achieve it twice, it's not lost on me that it's going to be a challenge, but heck, I love a challenge.
And you're heavily networked and connected. So I think as long as you're staying fresh and learning and still in the game, yeah, which you are, you're very involved. That door is still wide open for you, and you have a great reputation out there. Now, you said something. I want to thank you in advance for the courage to say this in a day and age where we just can't point out the obvious, okay? But you did, and I love it. You said, now quote, females are a different type of athlete from the way we move, how our bodies are shaped, and our complex hormonal systems. Once again, thank you. We are different. What's wrong with that, right? Nothing.
Yeah.
But I love the fact that you said that, and my response was, oh, my God, someone out there willing to point out that there are differences and that we're not equal in some ways. So I wanted to ask you, what was the context for that statement? What were you thinking when you said that? I couldn't agree with you more. It's perfectly plain, perfectly obvious, and beautiful. The differences are beautiful. What's the context for this?
I'd say a lot of it at the time was looking at coaching women over men and how that affects us and how that affects an approach. You know, it's like you kind of said a bunch of times throughout this, Craig, is just in terms of we do want there to be equality a lot of times, but actually sometimes you have to look at an individual as who they are and how can I actually give this person different tools, different learning styles in order to help them understand the information best. And even carrying that over to our, you know, my elite players or my players here, not everyone is going to understand when I say to do something. I need to, how do I show them, give them visuals? How do I have them kinesthetically move through it? So I think really being able to, yes, we're a team of 47 or however many players, but actually this person, every single individual on that team is going to learn differently to the other. So when we teach to the masses, is that necessarily the right way to do it? And I think working with females has really taught me a lot about that because they are so different. Like I said there, you know, the way that we move, the way that we're built, where our center of gravity is, that's going to adjust the way that I teach someone a technique.
Yeah, I was watching Karch Karai coach the women's volleyball team at the Olympics. He's a very famous volleyball player. I said, you know, if I'm coaching guys, I don't need any help. I don't need to read a book. Anything.
Yeah.
But if I was Karch Karai and they said, Craig, we need you to coach the women's volleyball team or any woman's, full woman's team, I'd said the first thing I'd have to do is get out a dozen books on female psychology because you cannot talk to them and train them. And most of them, they're different. They hear tones differently. They see, read your body language. They just read it completely differently. If you're not attuned to that, you're not going to make it with women, are you? You're not gonna reach them.
No,
right, listen,
exactly.
How do you feel about females playing in the NFL like Carly Lloyd or Sarah Fuller?
Well, I think that
anyone for that matter. Anyone.
Yeah. I mean, look, the NFL is the most elite athletes. And at the end of the day, I don't necessarily think that at that level, women and men need to compete against each other. I know those are kind of more specific to kicking roles. But a kicker still needs to make a tackle if someone breaks free. So, like, if a female wants to choose that, if a woman wants to do that, absolutely, that's their prerogative.
I just feel that actually wouldn't it be so much better if we could have a women's professional league where women can play against women and show off their skill sets. And I think men are just naturally so much bigger, stronger, faster that the emphasis would never be on the women's skill set. It would be on, oh, gosh, I don't want her to get hurt. And that's not the right image. We want to make sure that we're showcasing all these females and the amazing, like, football knowledge and their football skills in general.
My only concern, doesn't matter to me, I think it'd be interesting to see a female place kicker, but you can't have women in a position where they're going to get hit by a 300-pound linebacker. You just can't do that. That's my only concern, is that not only, as you say, do they have to tackle, but they are also subject themselves to getting hit by something that just breaks them, and that's my only concern. Other than that, I think it's interesting. I think it's fascinating. I think it's risky. Is that fair?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a woman's choice if they want to play, you know, if it ever gets to that point, if they want to play on a men's professional team. But you just don't want the story off of that to be woman hurt from NFL game or, you know, just something like that. That just detracts from the actual achievements that so many women out there have made.
We talked about just a second ago about Karch Karai and me having to read a stack of books on what female psychology if I was going to coach a fully female team. What about the reverse of that? You know, when can we expect a full-time head coach, female head coach in the NFL, and how do they talk to males to get it done?
I think that will be much sooner than we anticipate. I also think a female GM will be happening really quite soon as well. And I don't think it's a matter of how it gets done as much as there are so many women that are in the NFL at high-level sports right now working in the background that they're going to get to the top and all of a sudden it's going to be like, oh, I had no idea that she was doing that the whole time. You know, you look at Coach Lowe's in Tampa Bay. She's the assistant D-line coach, but, gosh, she's been involved in football now for years and years and years, just working in the background. And I think for a lot of coaches and GMs, head coaches, whatever that may be, that's what we want. We want to just almost just, like, get along in the background without much, like, razzmatazz and noise around us, because we just want to be good at what we're doing. We just want to get better at our craft. And if it gets us to a head coach role, if that's someone's goal, or a GM role, then that just speaks wonders on the hard work and the person and the experience that we have.
Well, I think there will be razzmatazz, and I think there should be, and I think that it's electric when you have
that. Hey, everybody,
that
I appreciate you listening
okay
in and checking out Phoebe Schechter. She is amazing, isn't
back
she?
In the
Stand by for part two that's coming shortly.
Thanks for listening to the Who Are You podcast,
when can
brought to you by Biotropic Labs, sports performance supplements for people who move. Join us next time for another episode of the Who Are You podcast.
Back and forth over the past year and a half. But no, I'm trying my best to be back with the team for next season and keeping those communication windows open. Just being around the elite level of sport, there's no substitute for it in life.
There's no substitute. You have been such a joy. You've put up with me for all this time. I've really enjoyed this. There's so much more I want to ask you. We've run out of time today, and you've got stuff to do. As we noted earlier, a big shaker and a mover, trendsetter, and a unicorn, even. Your new sideline name is the unicorn, because you're very special, very unique.
Thank you.
And thanks so much for sharing with us. I know you've done this a lot, and you've done it again today. A lot of reworked terrain for you. My audience is going to get to know you. They're going to love you. And Phoebe, thanks so much for taking the time and sharing with us today. We're going to have to do a redo with some other questions.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been wonderful to speak with you.
That's been entirely my pleasure. We'll see you soon.
Yes, sir. Take care.
On the sidelines in the United States with Tampa Bay.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah. Okay. Take care.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, thanks again, everybody, for checking out my podcast with Phoebe Schechter, an amazing woman, highly accomplished, and we were thrilled to have her on board, and we hope to talk to her again in the not-too-distant future. Come on back and check out the next podcast soon. Thanks, folks. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Who Are You podcast, brought to you by Biotropic Labs, sports performance supplements for people who move. Join us next time for another episode of the Who Are You podcast.